going to read a passage in just a moment, and I want you to notice how many times the love for Jesus is mentioned in the passage. That is not going to be the lesson that we're going to take from this reading. I've given it a title that I'm going to have to explain. I simply call it The Salesman of Jesus. Now I realize that we don't have a thing to sell, but we have a lot to give away. But there is a similarity between what constitutes a successful salesman and what constitutes a successful child of God. And it's that likeness that I want us to give some consideration to in our study at this time. I have a strong suspicion, and I hope not here, but that there are many in Christ who do not understand or realize what they're there for. They're given to understand that it is necessary to be in Christ in order to be saved, and that's right. But then we hear the question, I don't know what to do. We hear a lot about, we have to work, but I don't know what to do. Do you fit in that picture? That you, as a child of God, you just do not know what to do? Well, maybe I can help you just a little bit by sharing with you what Jesus shared with His apostles. And He sent His apostles out to do a job, to do a work. Not to sell anything, but to give away a whole lot. But it was necessary for them to be trained, to be taught, to be schooled how to accomplish this task. And that's where we need to make the application to us. I also realize that what we're about to read, Jesus stated to His apostles specifically. But I also realize that what He told the apostles to do, that every child of God has received that same message in different ways throughout the gospel of Christ. And therefore we find the application to us. If you have your New Testament handy, turn to the 15th chapter of the gospel according to John. John chapter 15. And we shall begin reading with verse 1 and read down probably at least through verse 10. But notice what Jesus instructed His apostles to do and how He instructed them. And make the application then to us. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in the vine. I am the vine, ye are the branches. If he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men cast them in, gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Heaven is, therein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep not my commandments, ye shall abide in if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remaineth in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, do you see anything in that that will qualify a person to be a good salesman? There's quite a bit there. And what we see that would qualify a person to be a good salesman also will qualify a child of God to be a successful servant of God. And as undoubtedly you noticed, the whole system, the whole plan is based upon love. Jesus loved his Father. What was the result? He abode in the will of the Father. What is the likeness? If we love him, that is Christ, we then will abide in him. What will the result be? Success as a child of God. Just as the apostles being sent out into the world to preach the gospel, to give away the salvation for which Jesus gave his life. Do it with love. Do it with love. But what was Jesus doing upon this occasion? We'll find out in just a moment. But the first thing we need to notice wherein is the likeness between the salesman, therefore us, in our responsibility, finding out what it is that we must do in service unto our Lord, we must be willing to do whatever he asks us to do. If the willingness is not there, are we going to be successful in doing anything in serving him? There has to be a willingness. Now let's consider what willingness is under consideration here, so far as we are concerned. An example, we find several of them in the Scripture, where folks gladly received the Word of God. What does that suggest? They gladly received the Word. The first example of this is Acts chapter 2. When the apostles answered the question of the multitude as to what they were to do, they gladly received the instruction. But what were they to do? Or what were they doing? They were showing a willingness to do what was necessary in order to their salvation. Now, is there anything that is necessary to our salvation? Yes, there is. In addition, of course, to being cleansed from our sins by the blood of God's Son. That most assuredly is necessary. But then, as the result of that, do we have the willingness to go forth and do what we are prepared or instructed to do? If we're not willing to do it, we're not going to do it. And if we don't do it, what did Jesus say? The branch that bears not fruit is going to be cut off and destroyed. But who are the branches? Now I know the religious world teaches a false doctrine on the basis of this, because they teach that all religious organizations are the branches of Christ. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He makes the individual application if we carefully watch what he says in this context. We in Christ are the branches. We have the responsibility of bearing fruit. Now I know that kind of scares some folks. The fact that we are to bear fruit. So what does it mean? That we are to bear fruit. And we must be willing to put forth the effort to do it. Well, what is it? Simply stated, be productive as a child of God. That's the simplest way I know to say it. Be productive. I know that there are those that teach that being fruitful is how many folks we're able to baptize. I don't know of a single syllable in all of the Testament that tells us that. It just isn't there. But there's a great deal in the will of our Lord to tell us to be productive. Well now, isn't that a desire of a salesman, is to be productive? And he's willing then to do what is necessary to be productive. Should not that be the attitude of one who has just been delivered from the bondage of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ? A willingness to go forward in service unto the one who delivered him from sin? Yes, there has to be a willingness to do what we're commanded and what we're taught we must do. But that willingness alone is not going to be successful. There has to be preparation. Now, did you see preparation in our text? What did Jesus say in our text that would indicate the apostles must be prepared? Everything that Jesus said was for the preparing of the apostles to do what the Lord was going to send them to do, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that preparation began upon L-O-V-E. If you love me, Jesus says, we're going to be fruitful. We're going to be productive if indeed we love the Lord. Well, what is it to love the Lord? That's the next hurdle we'll have to overcome in being prepared. What is it to love the Lord? Well, again, as simple as I know how to state it, that love simply means do what He says do. Because that's what is going to be best for everybody else. And that's what this love means. So we must be willing and ready then to display and prove our love to the Lord by doing what He tells us to do. And He tells us if we do not do that, we don't have that love for Him, we don't have Him. And without Him, what's going to be our success? He says we can do nothing without Him. So there will be no success, but a total failure of our life. So then, because we love Him, what are we going to do? Sit back and let George take care of it? No. He's given us much to do. That love has to be displaced. It has to be put on so people can see it. How do we know? Because Jesus said so. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But somebody says, what are those good works that we are to do that others may see? We'll continue to notice in answer to that question as we progress with our study. So Jesus was preparing His apostles to carry heaven's message to the world. How? By teaching them what they were to carry to the world. They didn't know what to carry to the world. How could they fulfill their responsibility? They had to know it. in order to do it. We have to know the truth too in order to let it so shine through our lives that others may see our good work. Every work that we do that the Lord commands us to do is a good work. He doesn't command us to do something that isn't good. Over in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 23, he tells us who we are working for. In the instruction to servants, and every child of God is a servant, according to the Scripture. Romans chapter 6, we obey the gospel, we're no longer servants of sin, and now we're servants of righteousness. Who are we to serve, and under whose commission? Jesus is giving the commission to the apostles here concerning their service. What about ours? What about ours? We have to carry the message to others as well. First, by virtue of our own life. People see more than what they hear. Do we understand that? I'm sure that we do. Because we all are in that picture. We see more than we listen to. Therefore, it's necessary in our preparation to serve the Lord, to bear fruit for the Lord, is to prepare ourselves to do it. We need the preparation that God's Word gives us to take His message to the world. And as I stated a moment ago, we don't have anything to sell, but we want to give His Word to folks. Did you ever stop to think how hard it is to give His Word to people? It might be easier to sell it. But we're not commissioned to do that. But we're commanded to give it. To live it. And to speak it. And that's not easy. People can't stick out their hand and take it. But they have to open their heart in order to receive it. And that's what folks don't want to do. So consequently, it's very difficult to prepare the mind of somebody else in order to receive what we have just to give them, God's Word. But if we have prepared ourselves, and on the basis of that love we have for our Lord, we then will step forward to show the world what it is to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And the opportunities will come where we will have the opportunities of telling them what the truth says. So preparation then is very essential. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 17-18, said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So we have to prepare ourselves by getting our mind full of this instruction, you see, in order to take it to somebody else. But then, after we have studied, prepared ourselves to be able to tell someone else what it is to be a child of God, what are we to do? Expend some energy. Expend some energy. You know, talking about salesmanship, most businesses that have salesmen also have regular meetings of their salesmen for two reasons. One is to keep them prepared and knowledgeable of that which they are to sell. The more they know about it, the easier it is to sell it. And the next thing is necessary in order to accomplish that is to keep the fire burning. Keep the energy built up. Keep their desire hot in order to sell whatever their product may be. You ever had to deal with a vacuum cleaner salesman? He'll try to more than impress on your mind the necessity of you having that, even though you have one right there. He'll try to sell you another one when you just bought that one last week. He still thinks you need to have a new one. He's very insistent in selling his product. How insistent and energetic are we in expressing what God wants us to express to others? His power to save. Are we enthusiastic about it? We need to be. Do we ever stop and think we also have sales meetings? Every service of the church is to help us to be better, to keep us enthused if possible, and certainly to keep us knowledgeable of what the Lord wants us to do. And that's to go forth in the presentation of His Word. Be productive. Now, we may not get a lot of folks to the baptistry, but you can rest assured that your life, the example that you're setting, is impressing somebody. But do you know how they're being impressed? For what we are commanded to impress the minds of others? It ought to be, and it will be, if indeed we're doing what Jesus told the apostles they must do in what He was assigning them. Love the Lord. He's the one we serve. Our salvation depends upon doing what He instructs us to do. Since our salvation is dependent upon that, how enthused ought we to be in getting that job done? Oh, just sort of casual, indifferent. Lack of interest. Very little, if any, enthusiasm. I don't need to go to service today. I have some other things I better take care of. And the excuses go on and on from those who fail to love the Lord. That's what it comes home to. If we love the Lord, we're going to sacrifice if necessary to do what He tells us to do. So we better get enthused about it. Our salvation depends upon it. That's how vital and important it is. But there's something else that the salesman has to understand and be prepared of, and I briefly mentioned it a moment ago, so I'll not say much about it again, other than the fact we have a product. And we have to be knowledgeable of the product. How many folks have you tried to talk to, and maybe you will extend a proposition to them, and they'll say, well, I don't know, I'll have to go ask my preacher. I'll have to go ask my preacher. Would you say that they are prepared to be fruitful? Now, I don't hear our brethren talk that way. They may think that way, but I don't hear them talk that way. But I encounter that quite often from those out in the religious world. We have no excuse to have that in our mind. We have every reason under the sun to be knowledgeable of God's Word. Every service, God's Word is taught. Our Bible classes are designed to teach God's Word. You're permitted to buy, take home, and study your own Bible. So there are many ways in which we may encourage and enhance our knowledge of the product that we are to go forth and share to others, the gospel of the Son of God. But we'll never know it all. So we have to keep on keeping on learning the truth in order to be able to deliver it to those that we come in contact with. How many of your associates know that you are a Christian? We studied what a Christian is this morning, remember? So, how many people that know that you are a child of God? A number of years ago, there was a man came to my office back here and wanted to talk. He said, I have a problem. He had a marriage problem. And we talked for some time about his problem. Tried to help him to understand what God teaches concerning marriage. And he mentioned that he worked down at Douglas. I said, great, that's a good place to work, I understand. One of our members works at Douglas. Oh, he said. Who is it? Mom, I know him. I told him who it was. He said, oh, yes, I know him. I've worked by him for 20 years. But I didn't know he's a Christian. How fruitful do you suppose he was? Not very much as far as that person was concerned, because he didn't even know he was a Christian. We should not have to put a sign on us telling everybody, I'm a Christian. They ought to see it by our disposition, by the life that we live, by what we do in the course of our life. They ought to be able to see it. They didn't have to stop Jesus on the trail and say, are you Jesus? They knew who he was, whether they ever saw him before or not. And I remember when I was just a boy, and that was a few years back, where it was very common to hear the adult folks making the statement that you can always tell who is a Christian in this community. And if you want to know anything about what the Bible teaches, you go ask a member of the Church of Christ. Do we ever hear anything like that today? I haven't heard that in many years. But it used to be. What's happened? Where's the product? What's being produced? What is being fruitful so far as the Lord's people is concerned, you see? The apostles were sent on a great commission, and they had to be ready and prepared and willing to fulfill that responsibility. Why? Eternity depends upon it. And that same thing is true with you and with me. Eternity depends on how productive we are as God's people. So we have a different life to live than those folks out there on the street. We have put Jesus the Christ on. We have a life of service unto our Heavenly Father. And we have the commission to live for Him because He died for us. And that's a big commission. And it's going to impress somebody else. We may never know who, nor when, nor where, but it's going to impress somebody else somewhere along the way. And so we then must be prepared to deliver to those who are in need and who isn't of the Word of God. Everybody's in need of it. Because it's the difference between hell and heaven. And if we want heaven to be our home after a while, what is it going to take to get us there? Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 7 and along about verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto my Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." There's where our production is to be found, in doing the will of God. And a few more verses down, he condemns some who claimed that they were doing many wonderful works, casting out devils. What a wonderful work indeed that would be. But then Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you, workers of iniquity." That's without authority. That's lawless. What? Can we enter into that condition? Yes. There are meeting places all over with a sign out on it someplace designating it as the Church of Christ, or the Church of Christ meets here. But the authority from heaven is not emphasized in those congregations. They are doing things like those folks in Acts 7 that Jesus said they were workers of iniquity. They were not giving heed to divine authority. And you know what? James tells us that the failing in one law makes us guilty of the whole law. So it doesn't take much to be lawless. Therefore, that defines how serious it is to love our Lord. Because we love Him, we'll do what He says for us to do. And when we do what He tells us that we must do, and He provides the opportunities for us to do it, our love then will demand of us, get busy and prove ourselves. Isn't that what Paul told the Romans in Romans 12 and verse 1? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable job. Be not conformed to this world, but be translated by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God." That's our mission. Are we doing it? I have to speak for me. You have to speak for you. But the fact is, the Lord knows us both. So how are we faring in proving ourselves to our Lord? Do we find that we indeed are following in His steps by the life that we live? Our efforts to be productive in His service? Or are we just sitting back? We used to hear the expression, "Let George do it." That's what we hire preachers for, somebody says. No. We sometimes make a mistake when it comes to hiring preachers. And so many have the attitude, "Well, the preacher here is to preach for us." Tom, that isn't so. Preachers are to preach to us, not for us. And I'm afraid there's been too many preaching to, and preaching for, and not to. So consequently, the results is not pretty. People are not prepared, and therefore they are not being fruitful. But remember what Jesus said in our text. The branch that bears not fruit is going to be cut off, cast into the fire, destroyed. Don't be that branch. Are we fulfilling our individual responsibilities as children of God? in carrying out His message in our life and in our speaking. I hope we are, to the very utmost of our abilities, and we keep striving to increase our abilities. But if you find there's something wrong with you in that area, my brother or my sister, right now is the time you need to make the correction, because you may not have another one. Time, our life, is not that sure. So we're going to sing the song that Brother Tom has selected as a song of encouragement, giving us a few more minutes in the course of this life to be sure we're prepared to meet God. As together we stand.